message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
Well, good morning, family. It's great to see everybody today. Today is a happy day, and it's an interesting day, and thank you so much, Rosalind, for sharing straight from your heart. When the church gets together, and the church has been doing this for 2,000 years, we celebrate Jesus, His resurrection, but we celebrate His power and His love, and we dive into His word so we can know His nature and His character. But what people fail to realize, and our city needs to know more of, is that there is so much transformation in this book, right? There is information, but there is transformation. And a lot of your friends and family know there might be information. They do not know about transformation. And that's why it's so amazing when we hear testimony, we hear the transforming power of God, which is such a reality in everybody's life today, if you let Him, if you let Him. And today we're going to be looking at today. I wanted to start with a quick graphic. Have you ever had a bad day, like one of your worst days, a bad day? Anybody ever have a day they wish didn't happen? I think we have a graphic of a bad day up here. When you think you're having a bad day, I want you to think of this guy. This guy right now at this point is probably a lot of things going on through his head right now. He's probably thinking, you know, I could have done something different today. I bet he wishes instead of doing something adventurous like this that he was just resting somewhere on a vacation somewhere. But when you're having a bad day, I want you to think of this guy compared to your bad day, okay? Okay. Speaking of resting, there's a story of these two lumberjacks. And this one lumberjack felt really like competitive, like he's the best lumberjack around. He can chop trees down faster than anyone. So he challenges this other guy and says, I will bet you I can chop down more trees and chop up more logs than you can in a full day. And they said, okay, it's on, it's a competition. So they got out there in the morning, and the first guy, the one who challenged him, he is just going at it all day. He only stopped just to sip some water and take a 5-minute lunch, and he's just powering away all day long. Now the other guy, he actually stopped and took quite a few breaks. He stopped and took like a half hour lunch. And after all these breaks and everything was done, the day was over, they turn around and they look at the two piles. And the first guy who challenged the other guy was really upset. He could see very clearly that the other guy's pile was way bigger than his. And he was mad. He was upset. He was confused. He said, I don't understand this. I worked way harder than you. I've been chopping all day long. I took no breaks. You took a bunch of breaks. You took a long lunch break. And you have a bigger pile than I did. That's not fair. Something's wrong. And what the other guy said is what you fail to realize is that while I stopped to rest, I was sharpening my axe. God has a lot to say about rest and rest in your life and how powerful it is, the right kind of rest. Sometimes you're going through things and you just need a really good night's sleep. You ever have that where you just need a good like 8, 10, 12 hours and you're good to go? Okay, but sometimes it's not sleep that's going to get it done. Sometimes you need rest, not in your body, you need rest for your soul. You need rest for your soul, and a good night's sleep is not going to get it done. Even a vacation is not going to get it done because you need rest for your soul. So we're going to be looking at a couple things this morning. If you have your Bible, if you can open up to Matthew 11, we're going to be in verse 28. I want to read a few scriptures before we get there to set this up, and we're going to put them on the screen so you don't have to flip there. But this is one of the most powerful passages in Scripture, I think. It's one that really woke me up to the love of God, the calling of God, that God wanted to change my life, and we're going to explore it. But to appreciate it, I think we have to understand our true human nature, because I really believe the more you understand how God made you, the easier it is for you to truly rest. Listen, the more you understand your nature, your real nature, your God-given nature, the more you're going to have the ability to truly rest. There's people going all through society, all kinds of things, consuming things, chasing things, thinking they're going to find rest and relaxation and rejuvenation and renewal for their soul, and they don't. They come up empty. But God knows you better than you know yourself. And when we understand how God made us, truly, the layers of humanity, the way He designed us and His sovereignty, you will better understand how to rest. So if you're a note taker this morning, it would be great if you write that one down. The better you understand how God made you, the better you will understand how to rest. I want to look at a few scriptures that are going to show you how God made you so you will understand understand the significance of what Jesus wants for you today. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and have a heavy load, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. And rest for your soul is not a good vacation or a little bit of sleep. It's much deeper than that. It's much wider than that. It's more impactful than that. It's more long-lasting than that. It's rest for the soul. And so to understand this dimension, I want to look at a few scriptures again. You don't have to turn there. You're welcome to, but we'll put them on the screen to make it easy. In the beginning of the Bible, one of the first verses in the Bible, Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, everybody say, let us, make man in our image. This is God saying, let us. Does that sound a little interesting to you guys? God said, let us. Does that sound a little interesting? The reason it sounds interesting is because the word God here is Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. It's the first time God's using the name of God comes up in the Bible, and God chooses the name Elohim. There's many names for God. They show the nature and the character of God. There's El Shaddai and Adonai and all kinds of Jehovah and Yahweh and all kinds of things. But the first time it comes up, it's Elohim. The Hebrew word Elohim suggests a plurality, meaning more than one, to the very nature of God. Hebrew scholars have a hard time with this word. They don't know what to do with it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Yes, he is one, but he's a little more than one. He's one, but he's three persons in one God. We know that from our understanding of Scripture, and we're going to unpack this more, but there's a plurality to the very nature of God, and it's the very first time God's name comes up in Scripture. God is revealing who he is, and it says, Elohim, God said, let us, God speaking to God, let us make man in our image. This is really amazing. It shows us a lot about who we are, because we're going to be made in the image of God as this story rolls out in Genesis right here. So we know there's a Trinity in Scripture, and we see this many places in Scripture. The word Trinity is not in Scripture, but the Trinity is all throughout Scripture. And so in Matthew 3:16 and 17, we see the Trinity all in one place at one time. As Jesus was baptized, as he came up out of the water, the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son who I love and I'm well pleased with. Listen to him. And at that time, as the Father is speaking and the Son is coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove on his shoulder as an anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see the Father, Son, and Spirit in one place at one time. And that's a beautiful picture of the triune nature of the God we serve. This is important because we were made in the image of God. And that's why you have to understand the triune nature of God, the Trinity of God. We also see this in the Great Commission, the last thing Jesus said to us before he ascended into heaven. In Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, go therefore into all the earth, preaching the gospel to everyone and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows best. He's the Son of God. Baptize them in God. Baptize them in Elohim, God Almighty. Who is he? There's a plurality to him. He's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy. Jesus is very, very clear about it. So we see the Trinity all throughout Scripture. And as God is Trinity, and as you were created in the image of God, God is triune, a Trinity, and you are as well. This is what we're going to see. You were created in the image of God, and you have aspects of your life. You have components of your life that it's important for us to look at them for what they are, to really understand specifically rest, to understand how you were made, to understand what God's doing in you, to understand how he's changing you, how he's growing you, how he's transforming you. It's really important to look at just how in the image of God you were made so you can understand how to rest and how to grow. I love this. Genesis 2:7 says this out of the King James Version. It said, God made man's body, everybody say body, out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath. Everyone say breath. That's the word for spirit in Hebrew. Spirit. So we have body and spirit, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Everyone say soul. We have body and we have spirit and we have soul. This is how God created us as a living being in God's image. Does this make sense? God is Father, Son, Spirit. We are created in his image. And this passage tells us how he took the dust of the ground to make the body. He breathed the living breath of God, the Spirit, into us. and we became the living souls that we are. It's very interesting. So God is triune in nature, and so are we. I love this one. Just the last couple, of just to seal the deal. If you've ever wondered on Trinity and how does that work and how am I made, this is really, really cool. I wish I was told this when I first became a believer, because it would have really helped me understand as I'm growing and I'm trying to, you know, change my life and walk with God. I wish somebody told me this early on. It took quite a while before somebody broke this down to me. And then I started to go, oh, that makes a lot of sense now. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we have for the screen. I love this. This is Paul closing out a letter to this church of Thessalonica. And he's saying, I want God to bless you, but I want God to bless all of you. Not all the people, like every part of you. I want God to bless you, not just your body. I want him to bless your body, your health. But I also want him to bless your spirit. And I also want him to bless your soul. This is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is looking, he clearly understands when he understands the nature of humanity and us being made in God's image, that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, and you are body, soul, and spirit. Does that make sense? This is important. The last one is this. Hebrews 4:12 says this, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I only want to set that up so we understand there is a triune nature. Now, some people use spirit and soul interchangeably, and I know sometimes we say that about saving souls and stuff like that. I understand the terminology, but when you look at the detail of Scripture, you will see what's called a trichotomy, a three-part of us. We're body, soul, and spirit, made in God's image. And so if you're a note taker, why don't you write that down? I was made in God's image, triune, body, soul, and spirit. I was made in God's image, triune. That means three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Why does that matter? Because there's so much stuff in life that people struggle with that they never come to an understanding of why. They don't know why they're chasing things. They don't know why they're not satisfied. They don't know what they're struggling with. They try to grow and don't grow. And I don't think they really understand our true nature, because the better we understand our nature, we can better understand God's solution for our nature. I really believe this. And this is, again, something that I think all new believers should this be explained. And I trust when you come to the Foundations course, this thing comes up, right, Tom? Body, soul, spirit? Okay, so here's the thing. You get to understand some really key things about how God shapes and molds us. And so we have a graphic up here of body, soul, and spirit. Can we pull that one up? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay, now here's the deal. Everyone knows the body, the physical world. When you're hungry, when you're tired, this speaks for itself. The body cries out, all kinds of things that we need. We get the real raw elements of the human body, the natural things. But the next one, the next part of the body is the soul. The soul, you might want to write it down, is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, the will, and the emotions. This is important because some people in this world start to function not just in their body, their flesh. They start to function in the things of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And I say that because some people think that's being very spiritual. If you were to ask people around the globe, they would say that category is being very spiritual. No, it's not yet. They're still in the mind, the will, and the emotions. They're working out how to improve life, how to be better, how to be happy, how to find purpose, and all these sort of things. However, outside of Jesus Christ, we are completely removed from true spiritual life, which means most people are walking around half dead instead of fully alive. And the reason is because they have a soul. God breathed that into everyone, right? He given us life, and we have a human soul, but we're disconnected from God and his kingdom and life and power in the Holy Spirit. The normal person is. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot discern the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. That's what we said last week. So here's the deal. Only through Jesus Christ do we enter into this relationship where Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus and says, how can I be made new? How can I enter into your kingdom? How can I have eternal life? How can I enter that realm right there? Nicodemus heard about the kingdom, said, yes, I want it, but I don't know how to get from here to there. How do I get there, Jesus? And Jesus said, there's only one way you get there, and it's to be born again. Everyone say born again. I know people are like, well, what does that mean, born again? It means your spirit needs to be made new. Your spirit needs to be regenerated. And it's a free gift of God that Jesus does. He dies on the cross to take away sin, remove separation so we can be one with God. And God puts his Holy Spirit inside of you, and our spirit is dead, and all of a sudden we become alive in Christ. Now, for the first time, we are together, body, soul, and spirit. And now what the dilemma is that you can make a decision for Christ. You can say yes to Jesus. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life because, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave, and I'm going to confess it with my mouth, and I'm even going to turn around and get baptized, and I'm going to start coming to church. Awesome. I am saved. I am good. I am golden. However, you find out that the flesh has got a pull on you. That tends to still rule you, or maybe it's the next level up that your soul, your mind, will, and emotions still seem to be controlling things. And this is where the struggle comes, even when you're in the church, when you've made this decision for Christ, that the soul, and Scripture talks about that, the King James uses, says the soulish man or the carnal man. The carnal man, as if those of you who speak Spanish, carne, right? Carne asada, it's the flesh, it's the meat, right? Carne, right? The carnal man. I love carne asada. I'm sorry. I bring it up all the time. It's one of those things, that and pasta. But the body is driving everything for some people. Everything, every impulse, everything, just like the body, the flesh drives it. And you see that in the realm of many people's lives. Their flesh drives everything. That's driving their life. Some people, they try to maybe even work out and tell their body, no, you can't do that, and discipline their body, and that's good. That means their body is not fully in control, but you'll find that their mind, will, and emotions are driving everything. That's the driver, the mind, the will, and emotions. The thing is this, when you come to faith in Jesus and he puts his spirit in you, this is where the journey begins, because he wants the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit, to begin to lead you. Jesus said when you receive the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you everything I showed you. He's going to remind you of what I've told you. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you and comfort you and counsel you and show you and make this come alive to you. When you're reading Scripture, back in the day, maybe it didn't make any sense. And when the Spirit's in you, you go, oh, now I see what this is. I'm totally getting it now. So the Spirit of God wants to wake you up to this whole new dimension. And here's the thing. The Spirit wants to now, with your agreement, dictate to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, this is the way we roll from here on out. From here on out, this is the way. See, it used to be the flesh drive and everything. And maybe you graduated a little bit to where your mind, will, and emotions was telling your flesh, but still separated from spiritual life in Christ. And then you say yes to Jesus, and he comes into your life, and he's the Lord of your life, but he can only be the Lord of your life if you're letting the Spirit tell the mind, will, and emotions what they're going to do. Does that make sense? And a lot of people have this struggle, and they don't know why they're struggling in their walk with Christ. They can't tell why, and it's because their mind, will, and emotions are still in charge. They've said yes to Jesus, but the Spirit of God is not in charge. But I just want to tell you, your mind, will, and emotions, Jesus cares about you. He cares about all of you. He cares about you, body and soul and spirit. And that's why Paul is praying for God's blessing on your body and your soul and your spirit. It's not like your body's evil and God doesn't like it, or just, no, God loves you and he loves your body. He wants to bless you in the body. He wants to bless you in the soul, and he wants to bless you in the spirit. But a lot of Christians just think of spiritual now, right? It's all spiritual. Yes, it's spiritual, but your mind, will, and emotions, God loves you, and he wants to do a profound work there. And I would suggest to you that the entire journey of discipleship, of Jesus transforming us and making us into his image, has to do with our mind, will, and emotions, the matters of our soul being transformed to be like Jesus, where he renews our mind and we start getting conformed into his image. It's not that our body is changing, but our soul is starting to line up with the Holy Spirit differently. And that is the big challenge. Psalm 23, David says, God restores my soul. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions is in a bad place. Yep, God, I love you. I confess it and I believe it. Not going to change my mind. But my mind, will, and emotions is in a tough place. And I really need renewal, God, and I really need restoration. This is people who love God. This is you and this is me. When our soul isn't in a good place, Psalm 23 is like, God, you restore my soul. Some translations say, God, you refresh my soul, my mind. Will and emotions need a tune-up. I need a change, God. I need a revival in my soul. The famous hymn that you may have heard, "It is well with my soul." You guys know that one? "It is well with my soul." Spiritually, he's saved. The guy saying that loves God. He's made a profession of faith. Jesus is his Lord. But he's going through some stuff in his life that his mind, will, and emotions would typically be in a really bad place, and God has restored him in a way where he can say, you know what? With my mind, will, and emotions, I am in a good place. The enemy has a hard time messing with your spirit because you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the enemy has a hard time messing with your spirit. Can I tell you what he'll mess with? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's where the enemy's going to mess with you. Because he knows that's the part of you that if he can mess with it, he'll get you to not act, but react. He will get you to react to his temptations. He will get you to run so hard that you're weary and want get you to fall down, get you to quit, get you to be discouraged. And Jesus saw that in the lives of people. He saw that in the lives of all these people who were carrying weights in life. People who loved God. He's talking about Israel. They loved God. But they were carrying weights in their life where their knees were getting weak and they were buckling under the load. And Jesus looked at them and had compassion. It's like, wow, look at all the weight they're carrying. You guys, I love you, body, soul, and spirit. And I see you. I see you and I see the weight that you're carrying. And it's too much. And you're going to break. And I've come to you and I have rest for you. Rest for your soul. Rest for your mind, will, and emotions. And so let's read this passage today, verse 28 in Matthew chapter 11. And by the way, we've been going through the book of Matthew, and this is where we're at right here, and it's a pretty epic verse. I remember when I read this, as I was coming into faith, and a verse like this really said, seal the deal for me. If that's Jesus and that's his nature, I want in. I didn't know much about him, but I said, if that's Jesus right here, and that's his nature, I want in. Because that kind of world, that kind of realm is good, and I want it. And many of your friends and family do not know this aspect of Jesus. They don't know the life he brings. They don't know the transformation power like the testimony we heard earlier today. It's not just knowledge. It is knowledge, but it's living knowledge that changes and transforms lives and conforms us into his image. And when you read this, this passage says Jesus cares, and he loves you. And he cares for your soul. And God sees how hard we're running. Let's see what it says. Verse 28, he says this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's basically starting out. If you're tired, if you're a little wobbly, if you feel like you've been running a little too hard, if you feel like you're going to quit pretty soon, or you're pretty discouraged, if you feel like you've been carrying loads a little too long in your life, you need, come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. He's like, I see you, I see inside of you, and I see your soul. I see your mind and your will and your emotions, and I can tell things are on edge and you're getting wobbly like a bunch of people carrying weights. Listen, you can be a Christian and be carrying too many weights. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you carry weights. We have to learn how to carry them differently. Everybody say differently. We carry weights, but we carry them differently than we do outside of Christ. And that's exactly where he's going right here. He's like, I see you. I see what's inside of you. I know what you're feeling. I get your mind, will, and emotions. And I love you. And I love your soul too. And I have a solution for your soul. You seem to be trying hard, but the weight of life, the weight of the burdens, the weight of the things you are carrying seems to be killing you. The original context here, to understand it, we have to understand the original audience. That's context in Scripture. And the original audience was the Jewish people under the law of Moses. And at this point in time, under the Jewish law, there are 613 commandments. Everyone say 613. How do you even remember? How do you follow them? And the Pharisees would add more interpretation to that. So even though you think you have laws and rules that you're trying to follow, the Pharisees would reinterpret and put their spin on what they think it means. And pretty soon people are like, I'm just trying to be right with God. I can't do this. I'm trying so hard, but I can't do this. And at the same time, in this culture, they were being watched and they were being judged. This is an enormous part of weight in your life for your soul. They were trying to live under the law of Moses, but they were being watched by everyone else to make sure they're doing the right thing, and they're being judged by others. We see this in the Bible when everyone starts picking up a stone ready to throw it. They were watching and judging, and this was the culture, trying to live under the law, which was a big weight, but also, even as a Christian, in an environment where people are watching and judging. Now, that doesn't mean we don't hold our brothers and sisters accountable and aim people towards holiness. It does not mean that, but we do things in love. We don't watch and judge with that cynical, critical, religious spirit, and that's what was going on here. And if we have that in our lives, that is a weight put on you and me that God didn't put on you. You need to know that. That religious spirit of weight, of critical and watching and making sure you're doing that, that's not the spirit of God doing that. He, you know, there's no condemnation for in Christ Jesus, but we don't make excuses for sloppy agape. Everybody say sloppy agape. We don't make excuses for reckless lives. We help and encourage people to walk with Jesus. However, we also don't live under that fear of condemnation of people looking and judging and critical of us, because that's what the Pharisees did, and that's what Jesus is addressing. And we know that because the entire next chapter, he's going to talk about this struggle of criticism and judgment and clarity on what God's view is. So this is really, really important. And so they were under the law of Moses, heavy load. That was their yoke. They were under this yoke. Jesus talks about a yoke. I think we have a picture of a yoke to put up on the screen. This is a yoke. Now, a yoke would be two animals that would hook this around their neck, and they would plow a straight line. They would plow things, and there's things in life that you need cultivated as well. There are things in your life that God wants to cultivate in you and through you, and as we go through life, life takes work. There's always work in life, but the fact of the matter is Jesus wants to yoke with us instead of yoking with some other things that we may have yoked with before. For the Jewish people, it was the legal system of the law which was killing them and weighing them down. But you as a Christian, you may have things in your life that you're still yoked to. You may still be yoked to things. You might need to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what am I yoked to other than you? The things that are pulling you back and weighing you down and putting burdens on you that God simply didn't put on you. How many of you know some of our burdens are self-inflicted? Come on. Some of our burdens are self-inflicted. Sometimes we put things on us or others do that God didn't put on us. This is important to know because these are yokes that we carry through life, and some people carry these yokes to their grave. And God's just saying, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there is liberty. You never had to carry that yoke, and yet we can. Even as Christians, we can carry yokes that we were not designed to carry. That's a yoke right there. And Jesus is the Messiah is saying, it's time to come out from under that yoke. Whatever you're carrying with you, whatever you're pulling along, whatever baggage, whatever the weight that's making you wobbly and it's making slowing you down and wearing you out and burning you out, Jesus is like, it's time to drop that yoke. Because when Jesus says, come to me, the first thing we got to do is we got to drop this other yoke. That's too much. And how many of you know we're not saved by our works, we're saved by his work? Do we know that? We're not saved by our works, we're saved by his work. And it's the same thing with carrying loads in life. You're not going to get it done by you carrying the weight, you're going to get it done by carrying the weight with Jesus. This is important, because otherwise you go through life trying to carry this stuff on your own, and Jesus is saying, come to me. If you're weary and got a heavy load, come to me. Let me walk this with you. He's the one who says, I'll never leave and forsake you. This is Jesus who says that. And yet Christians make a profession of faith. Yes, I believe, but we keep these yokes on sometimes and we trudge through life carrying stuff that we were never designed to carry. So the original audience came out from the weight of the law. And for us, we got to come out from anything that you're carrying that's weighing you down, that's not put there by the Lord. Think about what that is in your life. This would be the take home for you. To know what is in my life, what is the weight that I'm carrying that is self-inflicted? It must be because God didn't put it there. Maybe others put it there. Maybe it's an expectation others have, but God didn't put it there. And as you read the word and you pray, that's not something put on you by the Lord. And maybe you're carrying and you're struggling and it's burning you out and wearing you out. Jesus says, I see you. I get you. I love you and I love your soul. And your mind, will, and emotions need to be in a better place. And I'll help you if you'll let me. And this is where so many Christians struggle with, what about my mind, will, and emotions? God's like, I care about you, the health of your mind, will, and emotions, as well as your body, as well as your spirit. And so this could be a lot of things. Third point this morning is this, is that Jesus wants me to experience and enjoy rest for my soul. Rest for your soul. We talked earlier about sometimes you can take a vacation or a good night's sleep and maybe your body's rested and you didn't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning for work or whatever or deal with the traffic or the 101 and all that stuff and you feel like, hey, that's better. That's good on one level. But I'm talking rest for your soul, your mind, will, and emotions where God really renews and does a new work. Jesus is like, that's what I do. Jesus is like, you can take vacations, you can do that, do all those things, do whatever balance in your life you're looking for recreation and renewal and stuff, but Jesus is like, if you really want rest, come to me. And that's why so many people are trying things and not truly finding rest for their soul. When you look at the statistics in our society of all kinds of things, whether it's incarceration or divorce, you look at everything, it's like people are not finding rest for their soul, guys. Our society, Western civilization, is not finding rest for the soul. We've got more information than we've ever had. We've got more resources than we've ever had. We've got more knowledge than we ever had. We even have a better quality of living compared to prior generations. We've got all these things, but we're not finding rest for our soul, and it's evident in stats in our society, and Jesus is saying the same thing to us that he was saying to them. I see you. I see you, and I get you, and your soul matters to me. Your mind, will, and emotions matter. And I want to give you rest. But it's going to happen if you come to me. It starts with, to all who are weary. To all who are weary. And that means you have to be honest and realize your condition. You know, I love the Lord. I'm a pastor. I study the Word. I spent, you know, years in Bible college, King's College and Seminary. And, you know, I've been doing ministry for a lot of years. But I get weary, guys. And when I do, I have a choice. When I get weary, I can try to just buck up and tough it out and fight through. You guys know what I'm talking about? How many in the room do that? Just fight harder, fight harder. Yeah. And we can't be passive and weak and quit. However, there's times that's not the answer. There's times I just got to go back to Jesus and sit with him longer. Do you know what I'm talking about? You just got to go back to Jesus and sit with him longer because he's still telling me today, if you're weary and got a heavy load, come to me. This isn't some one-time deal. Oh, I heard that once and I get it. No, you got to be reminded every day, every week, every month when you're weary, you got a heavy load, come to me, all of you. If you're weary, if you're burned out, if you're overcooked, if you're spent, if you're tired in your soul and your mind, will, and emotions, come to me. I got rest for you. I got rest for you. You got to come to terms with that. But a lot of people are like, nope, I'm good. I got it. You ever try to help somebody and they won't let you? Right? You try to just, they won't let you help at all. I got it. I'm good. Doesn't matter what it is. They can be falling off a ladder or thing. You know, I was like, no, I'm good. Leave me alone. I'm good. It's just some people's nature. They just don't want to be helped. But with Jesus, we have to understand our condition. We got to come. We got to just be honest with ourselves. We just got to be transparent enough with ourselves to say, God, I don't have it. And I am weary and I am tired and I get you offer rest for my soul. I'm coming to you. That's really, really important. And the other thing about Jesus, he says, I'm humble and gentle in heart. And when you understand his nature and his character, you're willing to come to him. If somebody else was saying, come to me and yoke with me, get rid of that heavy yoke and take my yoke with me, you'd want to know who you're yoking with, right? The Bible talks about being equally yoked in Scripture. This yoke comes up. You want to be yoked with the right. Jesus is like, I'm humble and gentle in heart. He's saying you can trust me. You can fully, fully trust me. Yoke with me, you can fully, fully trust me. You have friends and family and neighbors, loved ones that you know that don't know that being yoked with Jesus, that they can fully, they don't believe, they're not sure they can fully trust. And that's why they're doing life on their own. Jesus is like, I see you, you're tired, you're wobbly. I love you, I love your soul. I'll give you rest. Yoke with me. I'm humble and gentle in heart. He says, take my yoke on upon you. That means you have to first take your old yoke off. That's what repentance is in the Bible. And the Bible says we can't even have salvation without repentance, which really means turn. Make a U-turn, change our mind. We change our ways. We're not perfect, but we certainly aim intentionally at turning and changing. And that's what repentance is. And this is saying, you got to take that yoke off. Come to me, take that yoke off. And take my yoke and put it on you, because Jesus is saying this, I do have some things for you to carry. I do have some things for you to carry, but it's not going to be carrying like you did before. The things I have for you to carry are by design. He formed us in our mother's womb. All the days for our life were ordained before one of them came to being. That God puts these things in us that he designed from the foundations of the world, Scripture says, fulfillment for us to walk in. God has things for us to carry that have purpose, that have aim, that have mission, that have fulfillment in our lives. These are not just ridiculous things to carry for no reason. But take that yoke off, put my yoke on, and this is what he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that means God's yoke for our life is a doable yoke, that no one gets wobbly. If we're doing it in our own strength, we will get wobbly. But if we carry it with him, as he says that we will, yoke with him, you won't get that wobbly. Even though yokes at times, you know, there's work to be done, there's things to carry. It's nothing like carrying the weights of the world and carrying them by yourself. And Jesus is like, some people leave their soul in that condition. And they carry it alone, and they run hard, and they get wobbly, and they try to medicate, or they overwork, or they try to over-entertain, or they try to buy their way out of a solution, and their soul is in the same condition it's always been, still needing rest desperately. When you're done, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you come to terms with your condition, come to me. I see you. I'll give you rest. That's what he's saying. I know that's what he said to me. I trust he's saying that to you, but when I came to faith, I heard this scripture, and I believed it. We've said before, you can come to Jesus by either inspiration or desperation. It doesn't matter which one, just come. Whether you're inspired and you see Jesus as the miracle worker, the way, the truth, and the life, and say, I'm inspired, I'm following him, he's got life, that's great. Or whether it's by desperation where you're like, God, I need you so bad. It doesn't matter, you come, especially when you hear he says, whenever you're ready, I got rest for your soul. And that's what he's saying in this passage. Take my yoke upon you. And he says, learn from me. Learn from me. So much is going on in this passage. Learn from me. This is what discipleship is about, guys. Discipleship. Jesus didn't just come to save people. He said, go make disciples. That means teach people what I've taught you and help people grow to be more like me. This is what he's saying right here. He's like, learn from me. In other words, if you throw off that yoke and you come to me, I'm going to give you a yoke that you can carry. It's not too overwhelming, especially because I'm carrying it with you. I want you to learn from me as you're walking. As you're walking, you're going to learn from me because you're going to be walking side by side with Jesus. This is monumental. See, if you have two animals yoked differently, say you have an ox and a donkey, you know what they do? They pull in circles because one is stronger and the other one can't hang. And they pull in circles. And that's why the Bible talks about couples being equally yoked, because God wants you to walk through life together. In unity, in the purposes of God. And that's really important. But in this case right here, Jesus is like, learn from me. As you're walking, I'm going to show you things. I'm going to teach you things. I'm going to show you things you don't know about walking and about carrying weight that you've just never heard before. You just don't know. You can't know them until you walk with Jesus. And this is where we get our term, our walk with Christ, comes from being yoked with Jesus as we go through life. This is where we get the term staying in step with the Holy Spirit, as Scripture says, as we walk with Christ, yoked with him. This is where these terms come from. And basically, he says, if you choose my yoke, if you choose my yoke, that's where you find rest for your soul. That's where you find rest for your soul. And it's the rest you're looking for. And I got to tell you, there's so many things that even in the lives of Christians, that Christians will try to do to find rest. And I'm not against healthy recreation. You pray about what healthy recreation is in your life. I'm not going to be yeast of Pharisees and throw things on you that Scripture doesn't put on you or anything like that. I don't want to be religious in that respect. But you pray about what healthy recreation is in your life. And you know how you know what healthy recreation is? You might want to write this one down. What is healthy recreation? Holy Spirit, what do you think? Question mark. There's your healthy recreation. Holy Spirit, what do you think? You're wearing something. Holy Spirit, what do you think? You want to watch a movie? Holy Spirit, what do you think? That's healthy recreation. That's all in the cool category. That's thumbs up. God giving you liberty and graces for these areas. But if you say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? And the Holy Spirit's going, no, well, then listen to that. That's not healthy recreation. That's not good for your soul. It's not good for your soul. And so this is really important. But I don't know what you're carrying this morning. I don't know what you came in here carrying. I know we all carry things. Let's be honest about this. We all carry things. We have concerns. We have worries. We have burdens. We have disappointments. We carry things, guys. We can't act like we have this all down and we don't. Our mind, will, and emotions have struggles. We do. Let's be honest. We do. And there's no other place to take them but Jesus, because only Jesus offers rest for the soul. Nothing else can. Psychology is not going to give you the rest. Entertainment's not going to give you the rest. Medication's not going to give you the rest. Drinking alcohol, medicinal marijuana, it's not going to give you the rest you need. It's just going to burn you out and take your mind away. Your mind, will, and emotions needs to thrive. Your mind, will, and emotions needs to thrive, not be sedated and checked out. That's not rest. They need to be, it isn't rest. That is, please, can I get an amen on that? That's not rest. That's not rest. That's burning out. And a lot of people medicate and they overwork and they try all these things. That's not rest for your soul. Rest for your soul is coming to Jesus. Taking off your yoke, putting on his. That's the place where rest is found. And then we learn from him as we walk with him. And for those of you, I hope you're going to be able to come. Thursday is our new midweeks instead of Wednesday, and we're doing a foundation. We're going to learn 101, walking with Jesus. How do we yoke with Jesus? What does this exactly mean? What's the process, and what does it mean? It's going to be great understanding. But all that to say is, if you are carrying a yoke this morning, I want to ask you guys, can we stand? We're going to close in a prayer this morning, but I want to do something special as we close out today. But first, I just want to do this. Everyone's eyes closed. You know, this is our last worship service in this particular building, and we thank God for our time here. But I just want to ask you to just hold your hands up before the Lord. No one's looking at you. This is not a Pentecostal thing, a charismatic thing. This is just biblical. Paul says, I want men to raise hands everywhere. This is a scriptural thing, a sign of surrender to God. But I just, in your heart, God knows your heart. He sees you. He sees your soul. He sees your mind. He sees your will. He sees your emotions. And I would just encourage you to right now, just symbolically in your hands, offer God something that you need to give up. Offer him a yoke during this message. Something came to remembrance in your mind, I trust. Something was reminded to you. The Spirit reminded you of something that you are carrying that is either self-inflicted or put there by someone else, but was not put there by Jesus. And it's a yoke that you're carrying. You don't have to carry it out these doors. The Lord says, come to me. Take that yoke off and put mine on. And so whatever that might be, symbolically, just put that in your hands right now. And we say, Lord, these things, you see all of our hearts, you see all of our souls, you see the minds, wills, and emotions in this room, and you care for us and you love us and you want us to find rest. And we're not going to have rest carrying this stuff. So Lord, we just lift these up to you right now and we pray you take them away. You take these things away, Lord, the burdens and the things. You said, cast your cares upon the Lord, and we just cast these things upon you that we're carrying, the burdens that you didn't design us for. And Lord, we throw them off, and we take on your yoke. You're humble and you're gentle, and we will find rest as we walk with your yoke. So our souls need this rest. We thrive for this rest, and we know you give this rest, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen, amen, guys. Hey, we're going to do one last thing I want to do, and this is important. Quick announcement. Church plant Encino. Everyone say church plant Encino. Okay, it's one exit away. Never break fellowship over one exit. Amen. Come on. Never, ever break fellowship over. I explained that with the Lord. Yeah, well, you know, an exit away, God, so I broke fellowship. It's like, oh, one exit. Oh, my goodness, I understand. Don't break fellowship over one exit. Our midweek is two exits. Actually, an exit and a half, okay, from here. An exit and a half that way, and an exit that way. So jump in and grow with us. Really cool. The other thing is this. So I want to ask you, on the count of three, to yell out the name of Jesus. Now, some of you, you've never yelled in church in your life, and it doesn't even feel right to you. Like, are you allowed to do that? Come on, everybody stand up. I want to ask you one time. If it's not loud enough, I'm going to ask you to do it again. I want to ask you that the last things that these walls resound with are the praise of Jesus, okay? And that is pleasing to God. So on the count of three, on the count of three, I want you to light it up and shout it out, and I'm talking all the way, okay? On the count of three, one, two, three, Jesus! All right, come on.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.